Okay, it's 13 October 2021. It's Wednesday. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the Wednesday CG Report. Epidemic of the vaccinated. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, as I said, it's Wednesday. It's the 13th of October. And today is the 8th anniversary of us being in this building as the Superior Word Church. We started out on the beach and we were out there for several years, and eventually we found this building and we moved in exactly 8 years ago today. So happy birthday to the Superior Word. All right, from JTN, lawmakers seek federal grand jury investigation for COVID-19 statistical manipulation. The CDC adopted a double standard exclusively for COVID-19 data collection that inflated cases and deaths starting early in the pandemic, violating multiple federal laws and distorting mitigation policies, Oregon lawmakers told the Fed's top lawyer in the state. Advised by a large team of world-renowned doctors, epidemiologists, virologists, and attorneys, State Senators Kim Thatcher and Dennis Linthicum petitioned U.S. Attorney Scott Osvog to approve a grand jury investigation into how the pandemic is being measured. Public health policy must be based on accurate and independently verifiable data to optimize outcomes and strengthen the public's trust in the people leading them through the crisis. The Republican lawmakers wrote in a letter with several attached exhibits. One is a synopsis of allegations, findings, relevant law, and implicated agencies intended to assist grand jury members in orienting themselves to the scope of alleged crimes committed. Their letter is dated August 16, but the materials were not released for a month to protect those involved. I'm not sure there has ever been an allegation of government wrongdoing on this scale. So the group wanted to assess accuracy and safety before going public. Osvog's office said it referred the petition to the Justice Department's Office of Legislative Affairs. Well, if it went to the Department of Justice, it's going to get filed away and nobody's going to do anything about it. That's probably pretty certain, but at least these people are trying to do something. That office didn't respond on whether or how it had answered the Oregon lawmakers' request. Thatcher said she was troubled that even as the infection's high survivability rate became clear, arbitrary restrictions that worsened child abuse, suicide, and mental health remained in place. I began to really question whether the cure was worse than the disease, said Thatcher. Linthicum said the incessant case counts for COVID jumped out at him early, explaining that his service on the Legislative Health Committee led him to recognize confusion or inaccuracies or kind of manipulation of statistics on influenza-like illnesses versus COVID. It didn't take long to actually see that the data was being scrubbed or sculpted to fit a narrative. The CDC's National Vital Statistics System told mortality data compilers to emphasize COVID-19 as the cause of death in a March 2020 alert, departing from a 2003 federal manual on recording infectious disease as a contributing factor to death. In the presence of pre-existing conditions, the letter said, regarding COVID diagnosis via RT-PCR tests, the CDC and FDA recommended a high cycle threshold, 40, that is widely known to produce false positives by finding insignificant viral loads. Public health experts raised the same concerns more than a year ago, with the New York Times recommending cycle thresholds of 35 or lower. The newspaper discovered viral loads were too small to be infectious in up to 90% of positives in Massachusetts, New York, and Nevada. Vaccinated people, by contrast, are tested using a cycle threshold of 28, removing false positives and making it virtually impossible for the public to trust the data they are being presented and the public health policies based upon this data. The feds rebuffed entreaties from Sinhang Lee, director of Connecticut's Milford Molecular Diagnostics Laboratory, to discuss significant problems with PCR design and calibration starting in March 2020 and again with legal assistance in November. The FDA allegedly gave no evidence in dismissing his claims as lacking scientific merit. Lee published his concerns in the journal COVID-19 Pandemic, Case Studies and Opinions this summer. In a summary, he blamed phony PCR tests for the unnecessary lockdowns crippling the United States, comparing them to HPV tests that led thousands of women each year to get needless cervical biopsies. Unspecified biotech companies use these questionable test results to move the goalposts arbitrarily in defining COVID-19 infections for statistics to cover up various business agendas at the expense of public interest. The lawmakers' petition also accuses the FDA of withholding safe and effective evidence-based treatments, just as the Tuskegee study withheld penicillin from black men with syphilis. They name vitamin D and ivermectin, which have extensive clinical histories of safety following the administration of billions of doses. Doctors who prescribe these for COVID may face loss of license, fines, and imprisonment. Feminist author turned COVID contrarian Naomi Wolf interviewed Thatcher in a little-noticed video a day after the lawmaker went public. Wolf claims Twitter indefinitely suspended her in part for reading aloud a press release from Thatcher supporting a state ban on COVID vaccine and mask mandates. It's the second attempt to get the United States attorneys to approve grand jury investigations. The effort started with a peer-reviewed paper published last year in the journal Science, Public Health Policy, and the Law. It was vetted by 9 attorneys and a judge before its submission. Why would the CDC decide against using a system of data collection and reporting they authored and which has been in use nationwide for 17 years without incident in favor of an untested and unproven system exclusively for COVID-19 without discussion and peer review? Ask the paper, whose lead author is naturopath Henry Early, founder of Oregon's Energetic Health Institute. SHF submitted petitions and exhibits to every U.S. attorney and the Department of Justice electronically and by physical mail last year, citing the paper, but none responded. The generic petition is headed on behalf of all concerned citizens and addresses Your Honor. The effort was relaunched this spring when Thatcher and Linthicum did their due diligence to vet the allegations. She declined to specify how SHF got connected with the Oregon lawmakers, though the generic petition suggests Linthicum was involved earlier because he's the sole contact for the expert witness list. Okay, what we have here is a giant mess in the United States of America and around the world, and we're going to see more of that in a couple minutes. These people have been forcing this agenda on the American people. They have been lying through their teeth. They've been making things up. They've been fudging numbers, and these people are trying to do something about it. As I said, it went to the Department of Justice. It'll probably get filed in a circular file. From the Epoch Times, New York Times pens major correction after overstating child COVID-19 hospitalizations. The New York Times issued a correction Thursday, saying it severely misreported the number of child COVID-19 hospitalizations in the United States by over 800,000 cases. I'd say that's a little bit of an error. From the Epoch Times, Texas governor issues executive order banning vaccine mandates by any entity. Texas Governor Greg Abbott on Monday issued an executive order that bans vaccine mandates by any entity, including private employers in the state. From WESH2, Florida health officials release list of businesses under investigation for requiring vaccination. Good job, Ron DeSantis. On Monday, the Florida Department of Health released a list of businesses, which I won't go through them, but it's a long list, under investigation for requiring vaccination. Under the rule, the Florida DOH now has the authority to enforce penalties on applicable entities and institutions that require documentation of vaccination or post-exposure status, the release states. This law prohibits the following entities from requiring documentation of COVID-19 vaccination or post-infection recovery. Orange County Mayor Jerry Demings blasted the governor for his threat to fine those that require vaccination. $5,000 fines per violation are proposed. Demings is personally named on the list of violators for forcing union firefighters and other employees to be vaccinated or receive a written reprimand. I guarantee you this guy's a Democrat. Absolutely guarantee it. He says the county intends to take this to court. Good, let him. The state was clearly out of line with commonly accepted practices for crisis management. And anytime that someone diminishes our ability to protect our citizens, I'm going to stand up against that, Demings said. The governor's office fired back. Commonly accepted practices for crisis management do not include forced masking and coercing people into getting medical procedures under threat of termination. These policies do not protect citizens. They violate citizens' rights. Very good for our governor. I'm glad to have him as our governor. If you ever see any bad articles about people, because people are always sending them to me and they're saying, oh, look, Ron DeSantis is doing this or that, and that's a bad thing. It's usually a lefty that's taking something out of context and they're making a mass email to get Ron DeSantis's support base to go against him. Don't believe those emails. I've never had one come through that I haven't researched and found out that it was not what it was originally said to be. So just don't forward that kind of stuff, especially to me, because I don't have the time to go researching all of that stuff. It's just nonsense, okay? From the Gateway Pundit, an epidemic of the vaccinated. Latest UK data shows rate of infection spiraling out of control. The latest numbers from the UK reveal the COVID infection rates among the vaccinated now exceed the unvaxxed in every age group over 30. This has clearly become an epidemic of the vaccinated, not the unvaccinated. It's also clearly deteriorating by the week with spread shifting younger. Under 18 is mostly unvaxxed, and school kids are being tested at outlandish levels, especially if not vaccinated. The same spills into the college to these two brackets have some pretty iffy data bias artifacts in them as a result. It's testemic with oversensitive PCR, not a pandemic of kids. Of course, children have a greater chance of dying in a car accident or drowning than from the coronavirus. From the Epic Times, COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations plummet in southern U.S., rise in northern states. COVID-19 metrics in southern states like Florida have plummeted in recent weeks while rising in many northern states, including heavily vaccinated ones. Confirmed COVID-19 cases in Mississippi, for instance, have plunged some 95% from the peak of 5,018 on August 19th to just 268 on October 7th. COVID-19-related hospitalizations in the state, one of the worst hit in the nation, dropped from 1,667 on August 19th to 403. Similar drops have been recorded in Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Florida, Texas. At the same time, metrics have been rising in many northern states, including those in New England. Vermont, for instance, went from one case on July 5th to 286 on October 1st, and 8 hospitalizations in the month of June to 160 in the month of September. In North Dakota, active cases jumped from 143 on July 5th to 4,485 on October 7th, while hospitalizations rose from 9 to 184. Some people thought the rising number of people with immunity would prevent another set of waves or sharp increases in COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. But that proved inaccurate. Multiple states have seen numbers similar to or even higher than previous peaks. From the Gateway Pundit, amazing. COVID-19 cases in Indonesia plummet after government authorizes ivermectin for treatment. A few months ago, this was India. Remember India? They said it's going to be the death capital of the universe, and there's billions of Indians, and it's going to spread in their land, and you're going to have deaths and cases, and it's going to overwhelm them. And what did they do? They started immediately giving people ivermectin, and their number went from here right down to nothing, and it has stayed there. Same thing now in Indonesia. In July 2021, the Indonesian Food and Drug Monitoring Agency finally granted EUA for ivermectin as the therapeutic drug to cure the COVID-19. This was due to the country's worst case scenario epidemic at the time, according to officials. Indonesia experienced a spike in COVID-19 infection and deaths in July and was struggling to slow the virus transmission due to its high population. Indonesia is ranked as the world's fourth most populous country. The government imposed an emergency measure to slow the spread of the virus. One of its measures was to authorize the use of ivermectin as a COVID-19 treatment. Here's what it says. The Indonesian government on July 15th began distributing free medicine and vitamins to self-isolating COVID-19 patients in high-risk areas as the highly transmissible Delta variant of the coronavirus continued to rip through the country, emptying pharmacy shelves. Each package will have 7 days' worth of therapeutic COVID-19 drugs and vitamins and will be given to asymptomatic patients as well as those with mild to moderate symptoms, including fever and dry cough. The medication for the latter group will require consultation with a doctor and a prescription. Medical facilities are stretched thin, and demand for oxygen and medication has also soared. As scores of people are isolating themselves at home and self-medicating, prices of drugs have shot up in pharmacies and online. The health ministry has since moved to cap the prices of drugs such as favipiravir, remdesivir, and ivermectin. Indonesia's Food and Drug Agency has authorized ivermectin for emergency use against COVID-19, Reuters reported, although the World Health Organization, as well as European and U.S. regulators, did not recommend its use for COVID-19 patients. They rejected the advice of the World Health Organization, the Europeans, and the United States, and guess what? They got better. After the government authorized the use of ivermectin for COVID-19 patients, the number of cases significantly plummeted since July. The data proves that ivermectin played a role in the steep decline of COVID-19 cases, despite having a low vaccination rate. And guess what? Nobody seems to be dying from ivermectin. I have yet to read one article of the billions of doses that have been prescribed in India and America and now Indonesia. I haven't read one article of a death from ivermectin, but I've read thousands of articles and had the numbers reported from the CDC and elsewhere of thousands and tens of thousands of people dying from the COVID-19 vaccines. Sounds like something's going on here. From the CFP, which is the Citizen Free Press, holy spike protein! Vaccinated Singapore is getting hammered by COVID. They gave a chart. If I remember, I'll put it on there. It goes just like this, zero for a long time, and all of a sudden it goes straight up. Everybody there is vaccinated. LifeSite. World Health Organization database reports over 2 million potential COVID jab injuries in 2021. Only 2021, not last year, just this year. Over 2 million potential COVID jab injuries, and the vast majority are in women. The World Health Organization's publicly accessible database recording reported potential side effects of medicinal products shows over 2 million cases of possible COVID vaccine injuries in 2021 alone, with 69% of the cases occurring in female patients. According to Vigi Access, 2,199,476 adverse effects following vaccination against COVID-19 have been reported in 2021. As of today, we're not even done with the year, with 866,558, which is 39% of the injuries being reported in 18 to 44-year-olds, and 1,517,989, which is 69% of all injuries occurring in women. The database's adverse drug reactions tab allows the public to see the nature of the injuries that have been reported, including blood and lymphatic system disorders, cardiac disorders, musculoskeletal and connective tissue disorders, reproductive system and breast disorders, respiratory, thoracic, and mediastinal disorders, and many others. Looking specifically at some of the disorders and ailments listed under the broad headings, the shocking number of injuries include indices of vaginal hemorrhaging, myocarditis, brain neoplasms, which are tumors, spontaneous abortion, fetal death, stillbirth, pulmonary embolism, renal failure, fetal growth restriction, deep vein thrombosis, as well as the onset of COVID-19, influenza, pneumonia, and over 100 other conditions. There is not currently a function that allows the public to determine which COVID-19 vaccines are correlated with which injuries, but instead all the COVID vaccines and all the injuries are grouped into the same file. the shocking revelation that 1,517,989, or 69% of the cases, were reported in the female population could substantiate claims made by various doctors, scientists, and healthcare workers who have fielded concerns regarding the impact the jabs have on women, especially their reproductive organs and their fertility. In March, Idaho Dr. Ryan Cole, a board-certified pathologist and owner and operator of a diagnostics lab, told the public with support of the state government that he is seeing a 20 times increase of endometrial cancers since the vaccine rollout. Cole also reported a substantial increase in the rate of melanomas in patients since the vaccine rollout, especially thick melanomas in younger patients. According to Cole, it is extremely uncommon to find such progressive melanomas in the younger age ranges. It's the death shot. It's killing people. It's harming people. It's destroying people's lives. From Tucker Carlson. Twitter censors thread from entrepreneur who regrets taking the vaccine after serious side effects. Twitter has censored a thread in which Michael Robeson explained that he regretted trading my solid health for a temporary freedom to travel and freedom from being criticized. Robeson, an investor, entrepreneur, and founder of Spartan Monkey Rescue, had posted his personal story about his health declining after taking the COVID vaccine and warned people to think, study, and be aware before getting it themselves. Soon, the first post of the thread had amassed over 100 retweets and was noticed by the censors. First, Twitter slapped a warning on the tweet claiming that it is misleading. It's his health. He ought to know what's misleading because health officials say that vaccines are safe for most people. Well, he's obviously not most people, along with all these other non-most people, 2 million plus reported by the World Health Organization. They also took away the ability to like, comment, or share it. From Fox News, 4-year-old mistakenly given adult COVID-19 vaccine instead of flu shot. A 4-year-old girl in Maryland, this is not the first time I've reported on this, this is I think the third. A 4-year-old girl in Maryland was given the first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine instead of the seasonal flu shot she was scheduled to receive at her local pharmacy, according to a report by the Baltimore Sun. Victoria Olivier brought her daughter to get the flu vaccine to a Walgreens in Baltimore, where a pharmacist mistakenly administered her an adult dose of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. The vaccine has not yet been approved by the FDA for children under 12. Well, I'd like to remind you that it's never been approved. There is no approved vial of vaccine in the United States of America. They approved it on paper, but they've never put it out. They're completely free from any litigation against them because not one single vial of vaccine has ever been approved that has been injected into somebody's arm. Not one. Phil Caruso, a spokesperson for Walgreens, told Fox News in an email that patient safety is the company's top priority. Events like this are extremely rare, and we take this matter very seriously. Well, if it's extremely rare, it's getting less extremely rare by the day. Next article, Citizen Free Press. Indiana Walgreens accidentally gives COVID vaccine to young children, both now suffering heart issues. An Evansville family and their attorney says they were accidentally given a full adult dose of the Pfizer vaccine instead of flu shots. It happened on October 4th at the Walgreens on St. Joseph Avenue. The two children are just 4 and 5 years old. They're suffering heart issues already at 4 and 5 years old. Their lives are probably ruined forever, and nobody can do anything about it because it's not an approved vaccine that was injected into them. Even if it was by a mistake, only Walgreens is going to suffer, not the Pfizer people, okay? It's terrible what's going on here. From the Federalist, Joe Biden's vaccine mandate doesn't exist. It's just a press release. Yes, we've heard all about Joe Biden's alleged vaccine mandate for private companies employing 100 or more people. It was all over the news even before he announced it on September 9th. His announcement has jeopardized the employment of millions of Americans and increased worker shortages in critical domains such as healthcare. There's only one problem. It's a mirage. Biden's so-called vaccine mandate does not exist, at least not yet. So far, all we have is his press conference and other such made-for-media huff-puffing. No such rule, even claiming to be legally binding, has yet been issued. That's why nearly two dozen Republican attorneys general who have publicly voiced their opposition to the clearly unconstitutional and illegal mandate haven't yet filed suit against it. The Office of the Indiana Attorney General confirmed for me. There is no mandate to haul into court, and that may be part of the plan. According to several sources, so far it appears no such mandate has been sent to the White House's Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs yet for approval. The White House, OSHA, and the Department of Labor haven't released any official guidance for the alleged mandate. There's no executive order. There's nothing but press statements. Despite what you may have been falsely led to believe by the media fantasy projection machine, press statements have exactly zero legal authority. There is nothing yet there that gives employers any mandate. Stephanie McFarland, spokeswoman for the Indiana OSHA, said on October 6. The president made an announcement on this asking OSHA to do it, but we've not seen anything come from it yet, she also said. When the state agency gets any further information, she said, they'll review it. To impose the public perception of a mandate, the Biden administration is following an unusual rulemaking process it also employed earlier this year, called an Emergency Temporary Standard, or ETS. The spring ETS rule took nearly 6 months to issue. Meanwhile, companies are telling reporters their vaccine mandates will have at the latest December deadlines. For those who can't calendar, that's 4 months after Biden's non-existent mandate was proclaimed. According to OSHA, an ETS takes up to 6 months to go into effect after the initial mandate is issued in the Federal Register, which again, for the proclaimed 100-employee mandate, hasn't happened yet. Lawyers for big business were blunt about their love for this mandate mirage. Everybody loves this cover, Minneapolis employment lawyer Kate Bischoff told Bloomberg Law in September. Many were already looking down the road at doing this, but the fact that they get to blame Biden is like manna from heaven. Using the ETS procedure instead of normal federal rulemaking processes both allows the Biden administration to push its demands faster and without any public input or requirement of responding to public input, which is normally required of even legally laughable federal rulemaking like this one would be. That is part of why ETS rules have been overwhelmingly overturned in courts. OSHA has used that legal authority only 10 times in 50 years. David Rivkin Jr. and Robert Ault wrote in the Wall Street Journal in September, courts have decided challenges to 6 of those standards, nixing 5 and upholding only 1. There are many other reasons any federal vaccine mandate would be obviously illegal and unconstitutional, Rivkin and Ault write, including that the states have plenary police power to regulate health and safety. Congress has only those limited powers enumerated in the Constitution. That wouldn't include the authority to impose a $155 fine, today's equivalent of the $5 at stake in Jacobson, on an individual who declines to be vaccinated, much less to prevent him from earning a livelihood. But who needs the Constitution when you have an American people conditioned for compliance with even wildly outlandish things the screen people insist they must think and do? Earlier this week, the Wall Street Journal published a letter from Bruce Atkinson making several excellent observations about the non-existent mandate, including the following. The mandate's non-existence shields the Biden administration from legal challenges that may ultimately restrict the Occupational Safety and Health Administration's authority. Yet, the mandate is still effective at compelling industries and companies into compliance, as it leaves room for any eventual issuance to target non-compliant entities. This implied cudgel is especially effective on industries and companies that are dependent on federal spending or the goodwill of federal regulators. The non-existent mandate also allows so inclined state and local governments and companies to issue their own mandates, seemingly in lockstep with Washington. Once again, it's all smoke and mirrors. None of this is true. They've got this out there and they're pushing it on the American people, and they don't even have any legal authority or any written document to tell them to do it. Mail online? No cases of influenza A or RSV detected in Ohio during 2020-2021 season, and just two cases of B flu strain. I would like to say before I even read this article that that is impossible. It is not possible that that happened. A new study looked at children treated at Akron Children's Hospital in Ohio during the 2018-19, 2019-20, and 2020-21 flu seasons. Prior to the pandemic, the average incidence of RSV was 8.8% for the 2018-19 and 2019-20 seasons, but no cases were detected for the 2020-21 season. The average incidence of influenza A and influenza B was 13.6% and 0.3% respectively in 2018-19 and 6.1% and 6.8% respectively in 2019-20. But during the 2020-21 season, no cases of influenza A were detected and just two cases of influenza B were found. Does anybody believe that this is happening? I don't. From Exposé, Fauci and others openly discuss their intent to enforce a mRNA-type flu vaccine in 2019. An explosive video of Fauci with HHS officials and other health experts discussing how to enforce a mRNA-based universal flu vaccine is circulating on social media. I will say this, I have not watched the video, but they had it linked. I don't want to watch the guy, so I didn't bother. But this is an article from Exposé. The video clip is taken from a forum hosted on the Milken Institute in October 2019. Panelists include Anthony Fauci, Michael Spector, and Rick Bright. Michael Spector is a journalist who has been a staff writer at The New Yorker since 1998. Anthony Fauci requires no introduction. His role in the current pandemic is widely publicized, from director NIH funding to gain-of-function research on coronaviruses, ignoring HCQ as a treatment for COVID, issuing diktats from Forget Freedom and Make COVID Injections Mandatory, the injection fraud that is the COVID vaccine, to the part he has played in the coronavirus criminal conspiracy and racketeering enterprise, which began in 1999 and has culminated in the current pandemic. Dr. Rick Bright, formerly a director of the U.S. Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, BARDA, was ousted in March-April 2020 by the Trump admin after filing a whistleblower complaint about the HHS's promotion of HCQ as a treatment for COVID. According to Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, Bright blocked access to HCQ, and this obstruction to life-saving medication was a death sentence for over 500,000 Americans. In March 2021, Bright joined the Rockefeller Foundation as Senior Vice President of Pandemic Prevention and Response. At the Universal Flu Vaccine Forum in 2019, Bright said there may be a need, even an urgent call, for an entity of excitement out there which is completely disruptive, not beholden to bureaucratic strings and processes. And Fauci agreed. Bright also said it is not too crazy to think that an outbreak of a novel avian virus could occur in China somewhere. We could get the RNA sequence from that and beam it to a number of regional centers, if not local, if not even in your home at some point, and print those vaccines on a patch to be self-administered. The clip was taken from a forum hosted by the Milken Institute. The Milken Institute is an economic think tank based in California. It publishes research and hosts conferences that apply market-based principles and financial innovations to social issues. Its strategic partners include the usual suspects, such as various financial institutions and the Rockefeller Foundation. Once again, I did not watch that video, so if it's not true, you don't need to email me, but I've given you the article. You can go do your own research. Other than that, if it is true, that is certainly a hint that what is going on was pre-planned, that it is criminal, and that many, many, many people have died because of these people. So there you go with that. I'd like to go ahead and give you a little reassurance, though, before we leave, just because, you know, it's a little bit of bad news every single day, it seems, and we don't want to end on bad news. So I'm going to take you today to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know these verses very well, probably, but they're comforting to hear again. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. There you go. If you have never called on Jesus Christ, you're not going to participate in that. But if you would like to know how to do that, all you need to do is believe that God sent his Son to die for your sins. The Bible says that Christ died for our sins, implying that we're sinners and we need a Savior. Christ was buried. Christ rose again. He proved it, coming out of the grave, that he is God. If you can believe that gospel message, then you will be saved. That's all that God asks of you. He doesn't ask you to listen to a lot of boring sermons or give money to a church or anything like that. He just wants you to believe what he has done in the stream of human history for you. Please believe it today and give your life to Jesus Christ. Such is the world in which we live. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your midweek CG report.